Al Mitchell, do you have a pager in your time, LT?
I've gone through it all. When I started, it was like the WKRP. You got the little pink papers when you got back from lunch. You'd get 11 of them, and you'd call back whoever had called you. Then you got a pager, and then you moved. When I started in radio sales in the 90s, I had to go to a payphone. I didn't have a cell phone, you know. And then I got one of those big car battery car phones, you know, like you'd see in the Rockford Files or Canon. And now we've moved up to the phones and that sort of thing, and I do have music on my phone, but it's only because my daughter downloaded Spotify so she could listen to Beyonce on road trips when I'm with her. So I have no idea about the time. I think it's magic that there's music on your phone.
We're getting a lot of people texting in saying, you know, Greg's, I'm with you. No music on my phone. I do like this one for Strutty. Guys, I have 5 songs on my phone, one of which is All the Single Ladies. So, hey, nothing wrong with that. Why not? From Camrose. But there you go. LT, I before the break, we're like, I think this is the biggest Oilers-Coyotes game in history. Now, excluding the Jets, because, of course, they met in the playoffs. I'm talking since they've been in Phoenix and now had changed their name to Arizona. Can you think of a game that had more meaning than this one between these two franchises?
No, and it's almost... The problem with the old Jets is that the Oilers would beat them like rented mules whenever they played, except even in the 1990 series, the Oilers ended up winning. I can't think of one. Honestly, the times when Arizona has been good, or as Phoenix or Arizona, are so... And the Oilers haven't been great either, so let's not, you know, point fingers. But these two teams are where they are now in the standings is shocking. And the fact that all three California teams are in the ditch is also shocking. So it's kind of upside down a little bit. But Arizona and Edmonton being this good this late is news.
When you take a look at these Coyotes, do we give them not enough respect for the way they can create offense? Because we talk about their goaltending and the defense so much.
Well, a little bit, only because they're not famous, right? Like, they're not... If they go on a couple of really deep playoff runs, and now they got Taylor Hall, who's, you know, very famous. But, you know, if you just pick up the paper, or there's an old-time phrase, you know, if you look at Nick Schmaltz, Clayton Keller, Christian Dvorak, Connor Garland, really good player. He has 16 goals. Not famous. Kessel's famous, but he's not playing famously. They sound like a bunch of no-names, but they've got like 9 or 10 forwards who can score. Obviously, OEL is something else. They're a really good team. They're just not very famous.
Well, it's the market they're in too, right? You know, I think you mentioned OEL. I've got a very big affection for that guy. But no one really sees him. And no one really talks about him. He's a very understated defenseman in the NHL.
Yeah, he is. And a young guy who I think when they make the playoffs and win a round, I think young Jacob Chychrun is going to be a part of that. And I think people will notice him too. He's excellent. They're real good. And of course, the other thing they have is they're both banged up. Although maybe Ranta is going to be okay to play here soon, but Kemper and Ranta both are above average in save percentage this year so far, and Hill's not far away. So they've gotten great goaltending too, and Chayka is, you know, I don't know if he shaves or not. He's not very old, but they've done a good job there.
Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide, joins us, a host from 10 to noon here on TSN 1260. Without Kemper, though, and then Antti Raanta, the concern is he just can't stay healthy, right? That's a concern. Yeah. Rick Tocchet even voiced that concern a little bit. And so, you know, Aiden Hill's good, but I don't think he's on the level of those two. And, you know, was in net last night, only allowed 2 goals. They lost 3-1 with an empty netter. So it was another close game. They don't give up a whole bunch. They don't give up a ton of shots. So you're the Edmonton Oilers. You have to play the patient game again against the Coyotes that you did against the Predators, and then almost wait just for your top two lines right now to kind of dominate.
Yeah, and they're also the thing about the Coyotes that you have to watch is they'll take advantage too. Like they love to forecheck hard. They'll create offense off of turnovers. They're a little, well, they're a lot like a Dave Tippett team, but they're different qualities, because I think the Oilers have three forwards that you, they were all placed in an expansion draft, I think you'd take certainly the first two and maybe even a third before you, got into the Arizona roster. But they're all different shades of really good, and that's for this Oiler team, the third pairing is going to be up against some really good players, maybe even with a third or fourth line out there. So there's going to be times where the Oilers are going to be a little exposed because of depth tomorrow, and Arizona is going to have the advantage when say their third line is out, because they can all score.
Joined by Alan Mitchell for the Lowdown Flow Tide. He also doesn't have music on his phone, but he also doesn't have a cell phone, so it's hard to ask him to have something if he has it.
Landlines, baby.
Send him a text on his landline. He loves getting those. When you look at this team, like last year, it seemed to me when the Oilers played Arizona, the pace of the game was too much for quite a bit of the Oilers lineup, and they've made some adjustments. We know the change they've made. When you look at the group now, you know, I don't disagree with you, the third pairing for Oilers is going to be under pressure, but is the pace quicker, or sorry, has the pace between the two teams, that gap, has that shrunk in your mind?
I think so, and I think that Ken Holland, one of the criticisms of Ken Holland from and he doesn't get a lot of criticism, I don't think, but one of them is that he didn't do enough in the summer. But I think what he did do was he added speed up front. Nygaard is fast. Archibald, who we'll see tomorrow, obviously, on the top line, he's faster. They cut Lucic out of the roster, and he was a little bit of a slower player. If you can't keep up, you can't play anymore. I think the Oilers are closer. I think they'll be closer a year, even closer a year from now, when they're going to be a lot faster. But part of that is that they're younger on the defensive side as well. But I think the Oilers they can keep up. Obviously, when McDavid's on the ice, everything is completely different. But I think they can keep up, and I'm interested in seeing how this second line does, to be honest with you, because the Oilers haven't had a second line to really go to when McDavid's off the ice for some time. We'll see how this group works against what is a pretty good Arizona team tomorrow.
Yeah, I love the way you frame that, because it feels like Leon's really embraced this idea. And I think he's always said the right things before, and I'm not discounting that he wasn't saying the truth, but it just feels like he's like, you know what? This is my line, and he's starting to take ownership of that line, like we've maybe seen from Riley Sheahan and Archibald. I recognize Archibald's on another line. You know, like, but the guys are starting to embrace their roles, and that is quite scary. It's a good scary for the Oilers if that's actually what's going to happen moving forward.
Well, I think that he sees in a guy like Yamamoto somebody who can get him the puck back when he gives it to him. No disrespect to the Oiler wingers that they've had in the past, but this kid can play and play with skill. And the Oilers have, you know, for lack of a better word, they've had a little bit of a... They were looking for brawn, for big guys like Maroon and Cassian and Lucic and you know, that's fine, but a guy like Yamamoto, you can give him the puck and, you know, go to open ice and he's going to get it back to you. And for Leon, that's got to be pretty exciting. No disrespect, but he's played with some guys who couldn't do that. You know, even in the year in 16-17 when they were, when he centered his line, he had Lucic and Slepyshev. Well, Lucic was a great passer, but he had those skills had eroded a little bit by that time and even more now. And Slepyshev, I'm not making it up, and I'm not trying to be critical. He rarely passed the puck back. If you gave it to him, the goalie was the next guy to touch the puck.
Yeah. No, it's a good point. He was a shooter. There's no doubt about it. And anyway, when you look at, and this isn't meant to stir up Dustin Nielsen wherever he is right now, but Jesse Puljujärvi, you know, he wasn't exactly a speed demon either. And not that he was slow, but I didn't know that he brought a lot of tempo to his lines. And that's something you hope that will kind of improve as time goes on.
But Jason, was there a Finnish player who skated around you a lot? Because you just always have a problem with the Finns, I find.
No, you know? It's more the Russian players who doesn't like Finns, I think he always liked.
Well, no, I think I'm pretty equal to all European nations.
Like, whoa.
You know, I just call as I see it with some guys. I just call as I see it. But no, like Jarkko Ruutu, Tomo Ruutu, both teammates love those guys.
Yeah.
Mikko Hentinen.
Yeah, I just envision like somebody skating by you with a European name, and you kind of taking the number and Puljujärvi, I think his loops were like, I always said that he should spend time with Nugent Hopkins, who is not the fastest guy, but he stops and starts. He's always right on his edges. He can get into the play more. Puljujärvi, I don't know if it's speed. It's just that he has these wide loops that he takes that nobody successfully in the NHL takes.
Yeah, and I always will hearken back when it comes to Puljujärvi. Had he not been rushed and played another year in Europe and then maybe a year in the American League, how different would he have looked, right? Like, I'm always, and it's not fair, but I'll always be wondering what if, because I think rushing him, it exposed that he wasn't ready for the game, and that's what we saw. And I don't know if that's a knock on the player other than the fact that, like, 99% of players aren't ready as teenagers in the NHL.
I'll go one further. I think Todd McLellan agreed with you. In the fall of his first year, in 16 fall, McLellan said he's not ready. He's not ready yet. We got to get him ready. But and McLellan was doing everything he possibly could say to say, you know, get this guy out of here. And I still believe the GM didn't agree with him. And that disagreement cost this young player what is coming up on, what, 4 years now, four years now.
Yeah, no, it's unfortunate, and hopefully they can straighten that out. That's still something that, you know, we haven't really talked about too much, about the ability to move that guy for something to add now. Just one last quick one here for you, Lotai. When you look at some of the rumors coming out of Toronto about the players pass, you know, Johansson or a Kerfoot, those types of guys coming to Oilers, let's assume that they are actually in play. Is there any way the Maple Leafs are not taking back a top four defenseman for one of those four guys?
No, it's got to be Larson.
There it is.
You know, I mean, I do not think Ken Holland is going to trade Darnell Nurse. So let's just put that aside. It's not going to be Klefbom. It's not going to be Bear. It's not going to be Nurse. So it has to be Larson. I like shutdown defensemen like Jason Strudwick. Mm-hmm. I like those players. But I think that if Toronto's calling, they're calling about Larson.
So I'm curious for both of you. So you mentioned Kerfoot, Johansson. Who else?
Kapanen.
Kapanen?
Those are the insiders saying.
I don't discount that those are available.
Yeah.
But do you guys honestly think they're worth a top four defenseman?
I would not trade Larson.
No. But for any team, like, do you think any team's going to give him a top four? Those guys are complimentary wingers, aren't they?
Kerfoot is a good center and he's got speed. But yes, they're not like, I think Johansson has like 6 goals or something, or Johnson or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Strutty knows the Euros better than I do. If you're asking for a guy who can play in your top four, if you're Toronto, that might not be a top four defenseman elsewhere. But I understand your point. You're asking for an established top four defenseman for one of those guys. For one thing, I will say, and again, no disrespect to media, but Toronto media has a tendency to overvalue Maple Leaf players. Totally unlike the way Oiler media absolutely astutely puts value on all Oilers players.
No, I think that there's been a lot of overrating. But I look at a guy like, hey, you know, Kapanen, good young player. Right shot. Yep. I like him. Right. Mm-hmm. But he's a 40-point guy. And when you just look at minutes played to everything else, to me, if they could get a top four defenseman, then that's a fantastic trade from their part. But I honestly, they might get someone that has to play, Al, and I think you worded it right, that they have to play in their top four. But they're not a top four defenseman on another team that's competitive, in my eyes. I just, like, the Oilers, I think that would be a massive step backwards to trade Larson right now for another winger. It did, like, and they need wingers, but, you know, I don't see you trading Larson, because now you lose Larson, well, you get one more injury, and then you're completely swimming up the creek with no paddles.
Oh, yeah, and the Oilers don't have – I love Matt Benning. He's not a top-four defenseman. God love Bear. He's playing there, and he's doing a hell of a job. But they need Adam Larson. They need Adam Larson to be better than he is right now. But there's nobody close to Adam Larson. And he does a lot of that dirty shutdown work, and he's – frankly, he's filthy along the wall. I love him because of it. So if they trade him away, everybody talks about the Oilers being tough. Well, one of the reasons is that Larson will stick you. He'll hurt you. He'll cross-check you. He's a really valuable player for the Oilers. And I think that's – if they're going to trade him, it's more of a summer trade, because you've got somebody else coming in here.
Al, have a good weekend. What's your pick? So who's going to the Super Bowl?
Kansas City and San Francisco, baby.
Ooh. Chiefs 49ers.
Risky picks by the Eagles fan. Whoa. Jeez.
Look, you have no cred here. You're a Giants fan.
Yeah.
What a warrior picking those.
Smart pick picking the Chiefs out. Smart pick. We will chat with you on Monday. Have a great
weekend. Boys, have a great weekend.
See you later. Bye-bye.